All right, good afternoon, everybody. Hope everyone's been having an awesome Ignite so far for day one. I think Scott Guthrie's keynote was fairly inspiring this morning. I think it's amazing to see how far Azure has come globally and the kind of capability and scalability that Microsoft are building into those regions globally. I think it really gives me the confidence to build services on top of that platform that we know users are going to make the most out of it from wherever they are, and it's going to be scalable and resilient. So welcome to my session, which is all you need to know about Office 365 Cloud PBX. My name is Justin Morris, and I'll tell you a bit more about me in a second, but what I want to start with is this. So put your hand up if you've still got one of these on your desk back at work. Wow, that's a pretty much majority of the audience here. So who likes putting up a piece of plastic to their ear and talking to people and having to leave voicemail and then getting calls in the middle of stuff? Like, is that a good experience today? No, lots of nods, lots of shaking of heads. So I think the interesting thing to me is that since telephony has been in businesses, it's been the same experience for just decades and decades. And there's been, you know, back-end PABXs sitting basically bolted to the wall in the computer room, and it's been a big plastic kind of, you know, phantom thing that only one or two people in the organization know how to use or to configure. Or you don't want to touch it anyway, because if you touch it, it might break and then phones will fall over for everybody. So it's this sort of paradigm of this is something that's still kind of, you know, left in the 70s and 80s, and everything else is being moved to the cloud. So email and intranet and enterprise social collaboration and all those kind of things are being born in the cloud now, and telephony is still sitting there on-prem. So it's really time to kind of break that mold and get out of that status quo. So what I hope that you'll learn from today in this session is the kind of drivers around why you should be looking at Cloud PBX and putting a plan in place to deploy that in your organizations, but also the technical detail of that. Because what I'd like you to do is go back and lead innovation in your organizations. And here's an example of a customer of ours that deployed Cloud PBX about 3 months ago, where they took a very kind of end user focused approach to it and were really kind of championing the adoption of Skype for Business, where they said, look, you've got till the 25th of November when this is going off your desk. And they said, no more phones. Everybody's getting a headset, and we're adopting activity-based working and flexible ways of working and mobility, because that's really the last holdout in terms of giving somebody a way to work from wherever they are, is giving them the ability to make and receive business calls from wherever they are. So I want you to be able to go back and say, Microsoft have got this capability now. It's in the cloud. It's time we got rid of old PABX. So a bit about me before I get stuck in. So I am Victorian born and bred, so me and my family all bleed black and white as Collingwood supporters. There we go, there's a supporter over there, nice. You can heckle me if you're an Essendon or Carlton supporter. But so what I did is I was based in Melbourne, and I was deploying what was Office Communications Server at the time, around the 2007-2008 timeframe. And then in 2009, I decided to do what's a bit of a rite of passage of a lot of Aussies and go over and work in the UK for a bit, which is when I joined Modality Systems at that time. And Modality are a specialist in Skype for Business only. We don't do anything else. We just specialise in the voice and video stuff. And when the time in the UK, I was deploying Link 2010 and then Link 2013. Deployments of size are sort of 5, 10, 15,000 seats across the UK. So I got a fair bit of experience around what it takes to get enterprise voice on a Microsoft platform into organisations of that size and displacing legacy PABXs that they've got. And not only the technology that it takes to make that happen, but also the business impact of that as well. So I've been a Microsoft MVP for 5 years now. Started out in Link and then became Skype, and now Office Servers and Services. And then in 2014, I decided to come back home, and my English wife said, I don't want to move back to where you're from in Melbourne. I'd rather have the home and away lifestyle and live in Sydney. So I put away some of my Melburnian kind of things about Sydney and settled on the harbour down there, and that's when I started up Modality Systems Australia. And we've been there deploying Skype for Business ever since. And we're quite proud to say that we deployed the first cloud PBX deployment in Singapore and the largest cloud PBX deployment in Australia so far. So with that, what you'll learn about today, firstly, is how good is cloud PBX to start with? So I'll talk you through some of the features and benefits of that, what the capabilities are, and then I'll go into an Australian customer experience. And we're privileged today to have one of the early adopter customers with us who join us on stage shortly to kind of go through how it's gone for them. And then I'll jump into a demo of Cloud PBX itself and just show you what the user experience looks like for end users on a Windows endpoint. And then I'll go into more of the technical detail. So how do you go about actually planning this deployment in the first place from a technology point of view and an organizational point of view with a special focus on the network here. It's going to be really important. And then I'll transition into talking about how do we actually deliver Cloud PBX through the two connectivity models available in Australia today, which is through a hybrid approach or Cloud Connector Edition. Then I'll run you through the management and reporting capabilities in Skype for Business Online, which will include a demo of the reporting, core quality dashboard, and management capabilities, and then give you a feel for what does the roadmap look like for Cloud PBX as it stands today, with new features coming online, geographical expansion, and what you can look to expect over the rest of 2017. And then we'll wrap up with some final thoughts and a bit of Q&A. So we've got some headsets courtesy of Plantronics that we'll be giving away for people that ask some really awesome questions. So hang around till the end there because it'll be worth your while. All right. So to start with, Cloud PBX benefits and features. What's in it for the business here? Why should we go and take that investment that, you know, if you talk to a CFO, they're going to say, well, I've had our Mitel or Avaya PBX for ages, and it's just been fine. Like, why should I go and spend some money on ripping something out and making an investment in a new platform? So the main benefits here is that ability to make, receive, and transfer business calls that people are making, whether they're in the office, at home, or on the road, using whatever device they've got. I mean, it's really that simple in terms of articulating the benefit of this. And it's that status quo of not being chained to your desk with the phone there and having a headset. And yeah, you could be down at your local cafe or, as an example, in 2 weeks, we're taking the whole Modality Sydney team and we're going to work from Coogee Beach all day. And that means that we're still supporting our customers, we're still running our meetings, still contactable on our main office number, as an example, and we're all going to be connected on 4G with a little generator at Coogee Beach. So it's really that flexibility is what Cloud PBX enables. But then with that, it allows you to interoperate with the existing assets that you have today and then eliminate those separate PBX systems over time. And you'll hear about from the customer experience shortly about how that was made real and basically allows you to kind of go from what you've got today, whether it's sort of multiple ISDN connections across the country or centralized SIP trunks, or PBXs that you maybe have only invested in recently, but you want to spin up a Cloud PBX pilot and, you know, prove out the functionality of that and then move on your own terms. So you can do that, and that's what really makes this kind of powerful. You don't have to do a lift and a shift or kind of, you know, band-aid approach to move to Cloud PBX. And then you can increase agility and consolidate management with Cloud PBX because everything's in the Office 365 admin portal and it's accessible with remote PowerShell as well. So there's not this case of going, well, okay, my moves, adds, and changes process or my new user process is all nicely scripted and automated on a Microsoft platform, but then I've got to go off to this like CLI for an old Nortel PBX to enter in an extension, and there's none of that with Cloud PBX. It all just happens in Office 365, and it's super rapid and super easy to manage. Did a bit of a rookie mistake. I didn't get my bottle of water before I started. Just give me a sec. So in terms of the calling features for Cloud PBX, everything that you would expect from an information worker perspective is available right there and today in Cloud PBX. And I think one of the myths within Australia today is people kind of say, well, Cloud PBX isn't available in Australia. And they talk about the kind of PSTN calling availability that's available in other markets, and they kind of dismiss the fact that you can actually deploy it today in Australia. And I'll kind of go through some of those methodologies later, but it's important to kind of anchor the conversation around requirements and functionality with these calling features. So it's the ability to, you know, answer, initiate your call, look at your call history, put calls on hold, do call forwarding and simultaneous ring, easily switch between different devices that you might have connected to your endpoint, set up do not disturb routing, be able to route your call based on your calendar, and also things like organizational auto attendant and call queuing that are in preview today. So the organizational auto attendant will let you do things like put your main office number in the cloud, and then when somebody calls that main office, it'll say, "Hi, welcome to Contoso, press 1 for..." Sorry, if you know the name of the person that you want to speak to, say their name or enter their extension, and the org auto attendant will route that call to those people. On the flip side, the call queue, what that'll allow you to do is basically set up hunt group functionality. So you can say press 1 for sales, press 2 for customer service, 3 for accounts payable, that kind of thing. So that feature will be available in Office 365 Cloud PBX very soon. And then things like, if you look at Skype and federated calling, this is actually something that a lot of people, when they're looking at Skype for Business, or even if they've got it deployed today, they don't understand the power of something like federation. So if you consider the fact where, if you've got a lot of business partners or clients, in fact, there's probably a good chance they might be running Link 2013 or Skype for Business in some flavour, and you can actually eliminate having to call those people using their, you know, their 03, 02, 07 number completely, where you can just actually call them over federation. So that's actually a way of reducing call costs, keeping the quality really high in terms of the user experience also. And then things like team calling, so the ability to receive a call on one endpoint and then have it ring multiple endpoints at once. This is a way we've achieved some call routing functionality for some of our early adopter Cloud PBX customers today. So that's a way to achieve some of that, to sort of get the ball rolling in terms of your adoption. And then obviously voicemail is a big thing that I'd probably say 90% of clients that we talk to say voicemail is still a requirement today. Hands up if you loathe and hate voicemail. Wow, look at that. Look around the room. Yeah, me too. Like people leave me a voicemail, and then like I listen to the voicemail, and they're like, "Oh, can you call me back?" And then I check my Outlook, and they've just sent me an email anyway. So I'm actually trying to work out how I turn off my voicemail service on Telstra, but I haven't been able to work it out yet. So if anybody knows, let me know. You know? Awesome. All right, let's have a chat. So in terms of the phones and clients that you can use with Cloud PBX, there's tons of capability and flexibility here that you can really give any type of endpoint to people based on their needs. So Skype for Business is available both on PC and Mac. In fact, the new Skype for Business Mac client launched a couple of months ago, and it was built from the ground up. So if you use Link for Mac at any point in time in your life, you know, forget about that experience. It's completely brand new and really schmick and works really well. And then you've got Skype for Business on all your mobile clients as well, iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. So you can make and receive calls from those. You can join meetings on those. And one example I really like to tell the story of is I've got my Bluetooth headset that I basically is joined to my face like, you know, 90% of the day. And I'll use that for listening to music on the train in the morning. And then if I've got a call to jump into or somebody calls me, it just comes up on my Skype for Business client on my Google Pixel, and I just hit answer, and then I'm just straight into the Skype call or straight into the Skype meeting. And then when I'm done, I just drop out of it, go back to Spotify, and it's happy days. From an IP phone perspective, because we know that not everybody's going to want to adopt a headset. Some people love still having a piece of plastic on their desk, and maybe they've been at the business for 30, 40 years. And one of the funniest anecdotes I heard about this once was an executive at an investment firm said, "I need to have something that when I get off a call and I'm really enraged, that I can slam it down on the desk." So luckily, Polycom have some options for that. Maybe don't tell them that the executive is going to smash the phone on the desk, but the VVX 201, the VVX 600 series all work with Cloud PBX today, and Audio Codes and Yealink phones are currently under testing as well, so there'll be even more options there in terms of features and price point. And then if you are running Link or Skype for Business on-premises today for Enterprise Voice and you've got CX6000s and CX3000s deployed out in the estate, you can use those with Cloud PBX as well. Same goes with the Martel and HP Link Phone Edition-based endpoints. In terms of what's unsupported, the VDI plugin doesn't work with Cloud PBX, but what you should be looking to do is looking at the Citrix HDX enhanced plugin that they've got now for Skype for Business, because that's really the Microsoft recommended avenue for providing Skype for Business on a VDI scenario. The old Link Server Attendant console doesn't work with Cloud PBX because it's like 7 or 8 years old now. And PIN authentication doesn't work today, but it will be coming quite soon, and I'll share a bit more about that on the roadmap slide. Cool. So touching on voicemail for a second here, I want to just sort of tell you about how this works and sort of what it is as a service. So what Microsoft didn't do was take the unified messaging role out of Exchange Server and just push it up into Office 365. What they did was they built a service from the ground up running in Azure natively that does deposit a voicemail, then does some compliance on it, and then deposits it straight into your Exchange mailbox. And the good thing with this is there's no configuration required, so as soon as you enable a user for Cloud PBX, they get enabled for voicemail automatically, and then voicemail just turns up in their inbox as they get left it. And the features available in voicemail today is the ability, obviously, for somebody to personalize their greeting, so they can go in and craft a really professional greeting into there. You get a message waiting indicator on all of your endpoints that you're logged into, and you can reply to voicemail with a call as well. And this is another interesting feature that can actually help you with sort of the value proposition of Cloud PBX in your organizations is the fact of having a voicemail in your Outlook inbox is kind of mind-blowing for some people because they're so used to having to dial into the voicemail number, put their PIN in, listen to their voicemail, and then like quickly jot down the number of the person that called them. And then you show them voicemail in their inbox, like it blows their mind. So if you show that to the CFO and that signs off the check for him, like, you're good as gold. Right? So some interesting tidbits there that we've seen. All right, so what I'd like to do is share, bring somebody on stage who has sort of gone through this process already, because I think there's nothing better than some proof from the field and validation from an Australian customer that this actually works and it really delivers value for their organisation. So what I'd like to do is invite Peter Turnbull, the Chief Information Officer of BAI Communications, on stage. Cheers. Cool. So thanks a lot for joining us today, Pete. Really appreciate you taking some time out and coming on stage.
No worries, Justin. That was, it's a great opportunity, I think, to talk a little bit about Cloud PBX and how we've deployed it and hopefully give you guys some real-world tips on things that we experienced when we're going through the deployment.
Awesome. So what I'll start with is just for the benefit of the audience, is just tell us a bit about who BAI is and what you guys do.
Yeah, BAI is a mid-sized infrastructure company that deals in terrestrial broadcast, also Wi-Fi, cellular, and radio. So we build communications networks.
Okay.
In Australia and out, starting to deploy out overseas now.
And BAI has deployed Wi-Fi to a lot of subways around the world as well, haven't you?
Yeah, New York, the New York subway, we've just finished deploying all the Wi-Fi through all the stations there and being able to link that. Obviously, the Wi-Fi is connected with fibre throughout and we've been rolling that out. We finished up a couple of months ago.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's something you guys can be proud of about sort of innovating and driving that adoption of connectivity into what's probably one of the last miles, where you've got no cell coverage, of you're sort of enabling people to continue their lives as they go underground.
Yeah, and some of the performance they're getting on the networks are absolutely fantastic as we move into that and being able to keep people connected. There's a new feeling now that you should be able to go anywhere and have data connectivity, no matter if you're in a subway or where you're travelling. You should always have that connectivity. So it's been a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah. Cool. And so in terms of what you saw in the business, what were BAI's challenges when it came to collaboration?
Yeah, from a collaboration perspective, we've been on a journey for about the last couple of years. When I started, we had 20 PBXs throughout Australia. You know, of brands that companies that make televisions actually had PBXs inside our network. Things that people couldn't even support. We had vendors come in saying, "We're not going to support that anymore. It's, you know, it was secondhand when you purchased it back in the 90s, and so now we're not going to support it anymore." So, really trying to work out, well, how do we do that? I mean, we had PSDN and ISDN and PRI lines all throughout the country with, you know, each basically managed individually. So, you know, we didn't have any centralised reporting on how much we're actually spending on telephony. It was just multiple bills, and sometimes you wouldn't get the bill. We didn't have any of that reporting or any of that capability, and basically just telephony. You know, the concept of a meeting where people can collaborate was an Arcadin service, which we were paying an absolute fortune for, and that was, again, just telephony, but it was just bringing people together. And we ended up having people's, you know, they would call, if it was two, three people on a call, they wouldn't know how to use the transfer feature on the phone or bring a conference in, so they'd dial out to Arcadin. And next thing you know, it's a $220 call for three people in the same company. So, you know, we're dealing with that kind of... So, collaboration from that perspective was, well, okay, how do we bring that together? And so we went down this path of basically a modern workspace initiative, and we introduced Office 365. So we're going through that part, and you know, Skype for Business was one of those core pieces that helped us really build and start to say, how do we collaborate? How do we communicate with each other? How do we get our diverse mobile field services team, which is, you know, we have over 600 sites with towers on it throughout Australia. How do we bring them together? How can they communicate? We're on the road, and so this and Skype for Business just provided that solution because we're heavily Microsoft. We had that. We're in the Microsoft stack, and so we thought this is a fantastic opportunity. And Cloud PBX for us was very much our end goal is to be cloud first. That's one of our key principles. But to get there and to get to a point where we can do PSDN calling or Skype for Business PSDN calling, we've gone Cloud PBX as basically a bridging strategy so that we can have something that was quite lightweight to bring in. It could be stood up very quickly. We had the benefits of being Skype for Business online in the cloud with our users in the cloud, but we could still get to that end game of being cloud first, where we won't have a PBX on site anymore, and that's where we want to get to. And as we look at the UK and the United States, we're rolling out there at the moment. They've got PSDN calling, so they've already got that capability, and that's kind of our wider strategy as we go.
Cool. Okay. Good to know. And in terms of how that rollout's gone, how the users responded and what's really the business outcomes been that you've seen?
We've been surprised. I think when we're doing the planning and the change management, we thought, okay, we're introducing a CYOD policy around headsets. Everyone had handsets, and we thought, oh, okay, you know, the average age in our business is around 45. A lot of people have been there, you know, 15, 20 years. It's long-term, you know, we have long-term contracts with the government, and so a lot of people stay there a long time. There's not a high attrition rate. And so, okay, all of a sudden we're coming in and saying, we're going to change your... You can choose your device, but really recommend you go a headset. But we started to plan for handsets, and we've got those Polycoms in there. We went and pre-ordered a few Polycoms. But as we went through the training, what we found was that the headsets became people wanted them. You know, they want that mobility. They want that, like you're going out to Coogee. They want the ability just to have that workplace number. You know, some other organisations are going, well, we're not even going to do that. We're just going to go straight to mobile. You know, and that serves some of the challenges that people just don't want to give their mobile phone out to everybody. People like having a work desk phone. You know, but this way you can kind of get the best of both. You're mobile, you get that desk phone, but you've also have that headset to be able to do it. From other kind of challenges that we had coming up with it was just getting people to understand that this is a change, and how do you actually use this system going forward? You know, Skype for Business meetings it's a really interesting concept because people are just used to dialing into a number, but all of a sudden now, you know, one of the tips I can give is that, you know, get the PSDN conferencing service up and running. You know, there's obviously the Skype for Business PSDN conferencing, but there's other services as well that integrate into Call and those ones. But if you have that integrated into Outlook and people can just click on that button and do a Skype meeting, you know, and all of a sudden they've got now the ability to come in from different countries with just a toll dial-in number at a very decent cost, it just changes the way people operate. But you've really got to train the people using Skype for Business. And the other thing is you've got to train the EAs or the executive assistants, because, you know, the execs just don't get Skype for Business generally. Like, you've really got to get the EAs on board, then get those guys on board first.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's really critical. That's kind of a big focus point, I think. So kind of extending on that a bit, what lessons from the rollout could you share?
I think some of the key ones, obviously go down that CYOD path, give the user the choice between a headset and a handset. You know, we ended up with about 20% of people on handsets and the rest on headsets. So it's just a nice little way, so it breaks it to them a bit, so it's not just this shift straight away. You can, and then people see everybody else on headsets and go, oh, I want to be part of that. Mm. You know, so we started taking a few handsets away because people don't need them. But things like password reset. So if you're on a handset, if your password, depending on what your password policy is, it 60 days or 90 days, you got to type that in after 60 days, which can get a bit frustrating on the headset. You don't have to worry about that. That's a good little one. Have a hero feature. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, we put in a Surface Hub. We're putting in another one at the moment as well. But put in a Surface Hub so you can actually, people can recognize Skype for Business as basically a modernization of your environment, but have it as something that people can recognize, something physical there. And the Surface Hub is a great example of being able to combine Skype for Business, but also the collaboration tools together. So we put a Surface Hub in, and you know, that's really helped to generate some momentum around that. A couple of other ones, just some interesting. You know, you've got to have a data center license to run Cloud PBX. That was one thing that we.
Yep, the Cloud Connector.
Yeah. So it's just, you've got to have data. And then if you have, depending on your architecture and your setup, your topology, you might need a few of those to keep it going. You can't run anything else on the servers. You know, they've got to, it's four VMs that have to be running on, and that's it. That's all you can do. And the other thing is, make sure you understand what's happening with your licensing. So, you know, things like common phones, or if you've got meeting room phones, you don't want to be allocating an E5 license to a meeting room phone. It's $1,000 or whatever it is per year for a meeting room phone. It's a bit hard to justify. So you kind of got to think through the licensing side as much as the architecture and the deployment that you're doing.
Cool. Okay. And then the last question I had was, based on the innovative kind of rollout of features you're doing now, what's next for BAI with Office 365?
So as we're trying to stand up these businesses in the UK and the US. So, you know, one of the first things we look at, we don't have the relationships yet with some of the telcos in the UK, as an example, but having a relationship with Microsoft, we can say, well, let's stand up a PSDN calling line. Instead of going through the telco process, which can take a while, we've now got this capability to quickly bring in PSDN calling. But Skype provides that basis for the collaboration tools that we're looking for. So we're looking at Microsoft Teams at the moment. Skype is a very big part of Microsoft Teams. It's really just one of those key foundations that we're building our, as we expand globally, how do we do that? And it's through a unified comms platform. You know, if you don't have that and don't have that ability to do Teams and Yammer and Skype, you're really just kind of selling yourself short.
Cool. Okay. Well, that brings me to the end. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Pete. That was really insightful.
No worries. Thanks, Justin.
Cool. So, cheers. So I think that really kind of talks to the proof point and the fact that this is real today. And if you hear people saying, oh, Microsoft doesn't have voice in the cloud in Australia, it's really not true. And there's kind of proof point there from Peter BAI. So what I want to do now is get stuck into a bit of a demo and just show you what this looks like from a client experience with Skype for Business Cloud PBX. So I'm going full live demo here. No Camtasia, canned anything at all. So I got my Skype for Business client running here, logged into Office 365, and just for those folks out there that know the product in and out nice and well, I'm going to show you there's no smoke and mirrors here. So I'm going to hit my configuration information. Come on. See if I can learn how to drive the software that I specialize in. There we go. Right. Cool. So what you can see here, if I go to this one here, Skype for Business Server, resolves to an FQDN in Office 365. And you can see here that I've got my line URI set up, I've got all my voicemail and everything, so I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes and run this from on-prem, it's all running live in Cloud PBX today. So what I'll zoom in on here and sort of focus on is the phone tab, which shows me that I'm voice enabled in Cloud PBX. It shows me my number here in our Sydney SIP trunk, and then shows, got down the front here, his voicemail that he left me a couple of months ago. But also, I've got all the options to look into voicemail here and change my greetings. I can set it up from scratch as well. I can also set up my call forwarding to forward my calls to somebody else or simultaneously ring to my mobile as well. So really straightforward here in terms of making a phone call. Just punch in my phone number here. Hit dial. Come on. So it knows it's me because my phone number is obviously stored in AD. And then my mobile's ringing as you'd expect. Swipe up to answer that, and then that call connects. Bob's your uncle. So that is all connecting from a signaling perspective out of Office 365, and then the media is connecting to a voice gateway and out of our SIP trunk. And then the experience from an inbound perspective looks like this. So I'll just call myself back from my mobile. I'm going to do set my presence to available, otherwise it's going to go, here we go. So I can see I've got an incoming call here, and I can either choose that to go to voicemail or answer that. So I'm going to answer it, and then I'm in a call the same way you'd expect to be, all routing through Cloud PBX. Cool. So if you're familiar with Link or Skype, fairly similar user experience, but that's all being driven by software from my service if you're more so used to a legacy PBX scenario. Cool. So I'll jump back to the slides now. And what I want to talk about is how do we start with the actual planning of this? So you've seen the demo. I'll kind of talk you through a customer experience and the features as well. How do we start to make this real? And going back to your organization and thinking about, right, what do we need to think of in terms of making this successful? So success is really underpinned by a strong methodology and framework. And Modality works really closely with Microsoft to help define the Skype operations framework in about June, July timeframe of last year. And what SOF allows you to do is deploy the right way or migrate from on-prem, delivering success every single time. So what SOF is a set of assets and phases, starting with plan, deliver, and then operate, that basically has customer success at the heart of that, and includes stages like envisioning the success of that deployment, assessing your current environment, designing the solution, and then preparing for rollout. And then transitioning into the deliver phase covers things like actual deployment of the solution, enabling of users, enhancing their experience with other features, and then the adoption components in terms of the communication, training, awareness, go-live support that they need. And then we transition into an operate phase, which covers everything that you would need from a BAU perspective to operate Skype for Business online. So the first thing that I recommend in your planning phase is really get the business engaged and anchor this on a compelling event that is happening within your organization today. So to Peter BAI's example there, they had loads of different PABXs right across the country. They needed to consolidate and they had a cloud strategy. And because Pete was driving that as a CIO, he had exec sponsorship there to kind of initiate that and move forward with it. And envision what your objective is going to be. So if you've got old PABXs across Australia, then you say, okay, our objective of this project is to displace those PABXs with Skype for Business Online Cloud PBX for our 600 staff across Australia. And it just has to be one line. It's effectively a mission statement of what you're trying to achieve. And you can then kind of craft that into different languages for people in the business to sort of understand around things like modernizing the collaboration experience, future ways of working, agility, things to kind of get people inspired and get them motivated to jump on board. And that transitions into creating a really solid business case. So it depends on kind of your appetite as an organization to make the investment and adopt, but look at what the sort of total cost is going to be and what the ROI is going to be for Office 365 Cloud PBX as well. So there's a lot of tools available to Microsoft and their partners to actually show you the value of Office overall over a three-year period. So you can see the investment from a licensing perspective, services, support on a yearly basis. And so you can then look at what the benefits are going to be to your organization with consolidating voice, what the total investment is going to be as well, which is absolutely something that a CFO would want to see to pull the trigger on moving forward. And that exec sponsorship is really important there as well. And I mentioned coalition here because sometimes, you know, somebody who is an exec, they may or may not have the right level of influence across the other parts of the business to make this successful. So think about, can that exec form a coalition with another one, a peer of theirs, and kind of get them on board to get their team invested in making the move as well. And so then you've got this kind of groundswell of people at the right level to get it moving and make it successful. And that means getting all the stakeholders on board as well. So there really shouldn't be any detractors across the business in this. Everybody should really be clear and aligned around the value this is going to deliver. Because if you've got that sort of one wavering person that's been like, oh, I don't know what it's in for me, they're the ones that could perpetuate or even generate some of that neutral or negative sentiment if they maybe don't have the experience they expected straight out of the bat. So make sure it's unanimous across the stakeholders in your organisation. Define your personas and identify the users that you want to roll this out to. And when I say personas, I mean look at your executive assistants, look at your people that are working on the road, people that are working at desks. So you understand what their device requirements are, what their training needs are, how they're going to be supported on day one as well. And identify users as well. So if you say, look, okay, we're going to go pilot, live into pilot with 100 users, make sure those 100 users are named. And so it's really clear about who's going to go and when, and there's no ambiguity around that. And to Peter's point as well, make change management a real priority in your project so that you focus on what's in it for people to make that change from their legacy piece of plastic phone on their desk to using a headset and taking their calls on the road. Really define your key success indicators. So what does the success look like for this project? Is it that by the end of 2017, we'll no longer have any phones on desks, or everybody will have a headset and be Skype for Business Online enabled? So then everybody's clearly agreed and have helped define those KSIs, and so that there's kind of no ambiguity and there's no, like, oh, we only got halfway, like we didn't fully kind of deliver on what we're expecting. And make it a SMART goal, so it's specific, measurable, attainable, results-based and time-bound. So then it's kind of this really tightly defined box that you're looking to achieve. And then at the end, you can say, yeah, we ticked that off, we did what we said we were going to do. All right, so here's the stuff I love talking about when it comes to Skype for Business Online. The network considerations for this are super, super critical because the real-time nature of Skype for Business traffic will identify where there's faults on your network. I've had conversations with network architects where they've said, our network's sweet, it's all good. No drop packets, like no congestion, it's fine. And then I've gone, well, why are Skype for Business calls dropping between Melbourne and Brisbane at this point in time? And I'm seeing packet loss and jitter and everything. And it's then you've got to work with those network guys to go, okay, well, maybe there's like some data replication happening at that time, or the carrier's having some issues in their network at that time. And so to get around that, network assessment up front is really critical to understand what the latency, packet loss and jitter is between your network and Office 365, but then also what it looks like across your network as well, so that you can be sure that voice and video is going to be a good experience peer-to-peer, but also in a conference scenario up to Office 365. Proxy bypass. This is important because the real-time nature of voice and video means that it has to be UDP traffic in its kind of purest form. So if you try and sort of push this through something like a proxy, it's like a kind of golf ball through a garden hose, and you're kind of encapsulating it up and sticking it out through something that, you know, a proxy is there to filter web traffic, and if you try and stick UDP traffic through it, what will happen is it'll actually fall back to TCP, and you'll get a bad experience to connecting to a Skype for Business online conference. So Microsoft published all the IP addresses and FQDNs online for you to exempt from your proxy, so the media traffic for a conference goes direct to Office 365. And the point that I'll make here, which is a kind of common objection, is, well, everything that goes outbound to the internet has to always go through the proxy. But then if you think about, well, I've moved all my sensitive corporate data to Office 365, so isn't Office 365 a logical extension of my trusted network? And so, in that sense, we should be able to tightly define the source and destination networks between our network and Office 365 and have that traverse the firewall, bypass the proxy, and provide the best experience we can for people when they're joining conferences, safe in the fact that this is traversing to a secure network via secure means, which is all TLS encrypted natively. Split tunneling is another thing, which has been true in Link and Skype for Business on-prem as well. It's still true in Skype for Business online, whereby if you've got people that are connecting remotely and they're using VPNs to connect back into the environment, what you want to avoid is that Skype for Business traffic traversing that tunnel over the VPN as well. Because it'll be a similar scenario to the proxy issue, where you'll have UDP traffic being encapsulated into IPsec or SSL VPNs, and the quality is going to suffer as a result of that. So what you want to do is establish a split tunnel where traffic bound for your internal network goes to the VPN, but traffic bound for Office 365 goes out over the internet connection I've got. Express route. One thing to note here that we've addressed some confusion in our customers is that Express route doesn't actually apply to the Cloud Connector Edition in Office 365. So Express Route is purely for client access to Office 365. And there's actually only two scenarios that Microsoft will sign off on Express Route now. The first being that the result of a network assessment shows that there is too much packet loss due to a latency between your network and Office 365, so you'd benefit from a private connection to Office 365. Or there's a published government regulation that states that your network has to connect over a private connection to a public cloud. And then lastly, consider the firewall ports for Cloud Connector Edition that I'll go through later on, and the client access ports that are required, because they're two completely separate kind of avenues of traffic, basically. We've got client traffic that will go from your internal network to Cloud Connector Edition, and then out to Office 365 and to your PSDN. But then you've got connectivity that will go for conferences straight from the client, bypassing the proxy, of course, straight to Office 365. So make sure that you fully understand that for both of those scenarios. All right, preparing for daily operations. Don't just bung it in and forget about support. It's probably the worst thing you can do, because if you do that, then you're like, oh God, what happens if we have some call quality problems? I don't know how to troubleshoot it and grab logs, or I don't know how to report on this thing that we've just deployed. Now I've got the CIOs asking me for how many people are making phone calls, and I don't know how to do it yet. So make sure you address this as part of your planning phase so that you do know how to support users, so you understand how the client works and how headsets interoperate or connect to Skype for Business, what the underlying Wi-Fi and Wi connection requirements are from the actual laptop or the mobile to connect to the service in the first place. Make sure you know how to monitor it as well. So that's monitoring Cloud Connector Edition, monitoring your tenant. So you've got all the tools in your toolbox there to make sure when things are up or down. Make sure you know how to troubleshoot when things go wrong as well. And that sort of surfaces itself in a level 1, level 2, and level 3 scenario. So your level 2 and level 3 guys, if you're supporting Skype for Business online, know how to go in and take client traces and then load those up in the Snooper log viewer and look at the SIP traces and things and understand when, you know, a call is being dropped because some network connectivity failed across a firewall or something. So that's really important from a troubleshooting perspective. From a managing point of view, make sure you know how to manage it from like from PowerShell and from the Office 365 portal, and I'll show you a bit of that later. And then a reporting element, make sure you know how to jump into Office 365 and report on usage as well. All right, so when it comes to deployment models of how we actually make this real in your environment connected up to the PSDN and Office 365, there's a couple of different models here. And the first one I'll talk about is Cloud PBX with PSDN calling, which is effectively Microsoft as your carrier. So you port your phone numbers from your carrier today to Microsoft, or you provision brand new phone numbers in Office 365 to use with the users. Not available in Australia today, and this is kind of where some of that FUD is around Microsoft doesn't have voice in the cloud yet. It's just that their PSDN calling capability is not yet available. So one thing to notice here is sort of to Pete's comment earlier, is customers that are deploying Cloud PBX with the on-premises connectivity today means they're taking that first step into Cloud PBX now, and then when PSDN calling does become available in Australia, they've already moved their users to the cloud, and then all they have to do is port their phone numbers from their carrier to Microsoft, and then everything on-prem goes away, and then that's it. So consider that from a planning perspective of taking the first step. Cloud PBX with Cloud Connector Edition. This is where you would have basically a Cloud Connector Edition, which is a single server with a few VMs on it deployed into your DMZ, which is important to understand because it'll straddle between your internal network and your external network, where there'll be some NATing required from the internet, but also some connectivity from internal networks for client media connectivity. And then that will connect over the public internet or express route, if you've got that exception, to Cloud PBX, where your tenant's located, and then that'll connect up into your users there. So Cloud Connector Edition is really enabling the PSDN connectivity from what you have today or what you might be consolidating on and connecting the PSDN up into Office 365. You can also connect Cloud PBX with an existing on-premises deployment that you might have today. So say a couple of years ago you deployed a Link or Skype server and rolled out IM Presence and maybe people are using it from desktop sharing. You can leverage those servers you've got today to configure hybrid with Office 365 and enable Cloud PBX. So what you can have is your Skype for Business servers in your data center connected to a PSDN gateway with SIP or ISDN. And then that connects, obviously, then again over a hybrid connection secured to Office 365, where your users will be homed there. And then you'll have some on-premises users homed as well, if they've got requirements for some of the on-prem features today. So in terms of how you decide or which architecture you're going to go with, it really comes down to what sort of features do you need today? So if you need call center, call recording, advanced compliance features that are only available as partner solutions with Skype for Business Server, then you'll go with a hybrid solution where you'll have users that need those features homed on-prem and then everybody else who's like an information worker with basic telephony requirements homed in Office 365. If you don't have any of those needs and you're really just a kind of basic user of phones, being able to make and receive calls, maybe have some hunt groups, reception consoles, that kind of thing, then Cloud Connector is the way to go if you don't have an existing on-prem deployment as well. Because it's simpler, it's a kind of all-in-one box to get it going. So I want to talk a bit about the PBX and PSDN interoperability and migration that's available here. So you can take one of two options. You can either do a big bang approach from the PBX you've got today straight over to Cloud PBX, which is what some of our customers have opted to do, and just move 150 users all in one go and light them up. Or you can interoperate with what you've got today, where you'll have a voice gateway connected to your PBX, which is then sitting upstream with ISDN or SIP connected to it, and then that gateway then connects to Cloud Connector as well. So with that gateway in the mix, what you can then do is a phased migration and migrate, say, 10, 50, 100 extensions at once, either on a kind of team or floor or office basis, and then just do it on your own terms and migrate over a sort of 2 or 3 month period. So you do get a lot of flexibility with that approach, but then it has some sort of some architecture considerations into it as well. So it all comes down to what you've got today with your PSDN connection and your DMZ, and sort of what your rollout plans are going to be. All right, so I want to talk through how we get Cloud PBX with hybrid configured. So what this is connecting to the PSTN with an existing or new Link or Skype for Business deployment that you've got, where you'll be keeping some of those users on-prem and then some of them in the cloud. And as I said, it's good for those scenarios where you've got a gradual migration that you want to achieve or some of those advanced features are required today from a telephony perspective. The prerequisites for a hybrid deployment is that your server needs to be Link 2013 or Skype for Business Server 2015 to configure hybrid with Office 365. And you do need enterprise voice enabled on-prem, because obviously you need some way of connecting Cloud PBX to the PSTN. And then you need Azure AD Connect and your identity obviously synchronized to the cloud as well. So in terms of the pool traffic flow, what happens is I've got users here that are homed in Skype for Business Online. So their calls go to or from the PSTN via the mediation server role. But all their other modalities, so IM, desktop sharing, whiteboarding, etc., will all go to Skype for Business Online because that's where they're homed. So they leverage the MCUs that are in Skype for Business Online to spin up conferences and use for their SIP signaling in Office 365. So it's just for PSTN calling. And then any peer-to-peer calls will actually connect direct, as you may be familiar with. So if I place a call through to Mark, our media is actually going to connect directly, and that RTP stream will go from the shortest path that Skype for Business can find using ICE negotiation. But then the thing to know there is that if I then invite, say, Anthony into that conference, what Skype is going to do is actually move that media flow up to Office 365. So the media will then all start connecting up into the cloud. So all the voice, video, desktop sharing traffic is going to start going up and down through the firewall. So from a port perspective, the internal firewall ports required for your hybrid deployment are the same as an on-premises Link or Skype for Business Edge deployment. So you'll have ports open for your Access Edge, Web Conferencing Edge, and AV Media Relay. And then there's two approaches you can take for the external firewall ports for hybrid voice. The minimal approach is if you want your media to hairpin through Office 365, where users, when they're connected out of the firewall, will connect their voice and video calls through there, and then you kind of can control the media flow through your firewall. Or the recommended approach is to open up source ports from any and destinations for media so that when people are joining conferences and making receiving calls, the traffic hits the edge directly rather than bouncing through Office 365. So if you haven't deployed PSTN connectivity on-prem yet with your hybrid deployment, this needs to be set up in advance. But then what you can do is your users can be assigned either an on-prem dial plan or an online dial plan as defined by Microsoft. And so you can set this up with the PowerShell command there. And then Cloud PBX has predefined dial plans per country. And there was actually recently a release for tenant-level dial plans as well, so you can configure those further based on your calling needs. All right, Cloud PBX with Cloud Connector Edition. This is the one that's kind of near and dear to my heart because it's a bit of a new feature and I've kind of jumped onto it with both hands and I've been sort of enjoying learning about how it works. So Cloud Connector is a set of four virtual machines that are running Skype for Business components, and it's running on a Windows Server 2012 R2 data center physical server. So this is running Hyper-V. You can't use a current Hyper-V farm that you've got, and you can't put any other servers onto this Hyper-V server that you deploy for Cloud Connector. So just be aware of that, because the Cloud Connector is intended to be kind of like a black box that's got the Skype for Business components in it that then connect to the PSTN. It's not really intended to be, you know, part of your existing infrastructure or kind of part of your Hyper-V farm or anything. It's just meant to sit there and run and be managed by the cloud. And so really what it's there to do is just enable online users to use on-prem PSTN resources, because your Cloud Connector will talk to a PSTN gateway and then bring through those number ranges through to online users. So you've got two options of how you approach the Cloud Connector deployment. You can run it on the data center version of Windows Server that you deploy and supply yourself. Or you can actually take one of the pre-deployed appliances from partners like AudioCos and Sonos, who are here this week in the expo, and you'll be able to see those cloud connector appliances that they've got. Which is a bit of a simpler approach to this because it means the cloud connector and the voice gateway is condensed onto a single appliance, and then it's kind of more truly a one RU type approach that you can treat as an appliance rather than a Windows Server as such. So hardware-wise, there's two approaches you can take for cloud connector, and it's really going to depend on the capacity you want to put through it. So the first one there is going to give you up to 500 simultaneous calls, which using a kind of general like 10-to-1 ratio of channels to users would give you about 5,000 users worth of capacity. So that's pretty decent. Option two is more of a kind of desktop-style hardware config, and it'll give you 50 simultaneous calls. And it's usually only used for kind of pilot or POC purposes. The hardware requirements for the partner appliances, best to speak to AudioCos and Sonos about that. They'll be able to advise what hardware is in their appliances. Okay, so visualizing this a little bit in terms of the architecture, you can see that I've got my four VMs placed in the physical host here, where I've got a mediation, edge, domain controller for the cloud connector, and then a storage VM as well. So the thing I want to call out here is that there's a domain controller, so don't freak out. This is not going to get connected to your current AD environment. It's created to basically keep all the VMs running in Cloud Connector in play, so there's basically security models built around that, so it doesn't connect to your existing AD, not at all. Because if you, this is funny, right? When I first told somebody, I'm going to put a domain controller in your DMZ, like, this guy just freaked out, and he was like, what? And I was like, nah, it's cool. Like, it's not going to connect to your AD domain. Just chill out, man. So just, yeah, keep that in mind. Just arm yourself with the knowledge, right? So you can see how the media flow here happens, where I've got my SIF traffic connects to Skype for Business Online, but then my media traffic connects out to the PSTN gateway. Okay, so media flow-wise, outbound call from an internal user to the PSTN works like this. So I've got Dave who places a call to an external PSTN user, and the SIP signaling will actually route to Skype for Business Online, bypassing Cloud Connector completely. This is where it's important to understand the client access ports required to Office 365 versus the Cloud Connector firewall ports. Skype for Business Online will then make a reverse number lookup of the number that Dave called, and then it will hit the Cloud Connector Edge component. And then if a route exists within our voice policy, it's then going to route out to the mediation component. And then media is initiated directly between Dave and the mediation component of Cloud Connector. So you can see here how mediation and edge are the kind of most important parts of Cloud Connector. And to put this in context, Microsoft kind of codenamed Cloud Connector as MinTop, so minimum topology, to basically get voice services running on-prem for customers that didn't have any Link or Skype deployed on-prem before. So the reverse of that, where an inbound call is coming to an internal user from the PSTN, would work like this. So the PSTN gateway would receive the call from the ISDN or the SIP trunk that's connected to it for user Dave. It'll route that through the mediation component of Cloud Connector. Mediation then sends the SIP traffic to the edge component, so it can then relay out onto Office 365. It goes to Skype for Business Online, where my user is actually homed and they're registered. Skype for Business Online will do a reverse number lookup of the number that was dialed from the PSTN to make sure to say, hey, this 10-digit number that's been dialed actually does belong to a user that I look after. And then the SIP traffic will then go to Dave, bypassing the Cloud Connector. And then once Dave actually picks up and answers the call on his Skype for Business client, the media gets connected directly from him to the mediation component in Cloud Connector. So that's a bit of a view of the kind of flows and how that works, and how it's actually fairly simple to kind of wrap your head around the mediation and edge components there. It can be a bit to chew on if you're new to Skype for Business architecture and firewall ports in general, because there's a lot of things happening there. But just sort of understand that media flow, that's a really good starting point. So from a high availability perspective, you can deploy two cloud connectors in the same site, which will give you some resiliency into that. You can deploy up to four in a single site if you want. And then what the online infrastructure will do is distribute calls to them in a random order between cloud connectors in the pool. But make sure you do some capacity planning around this. So if you say, okay, we need to support 100 concurrent calls, then you need to spec up your cloud connectors so they can handle the load of all users should one of them fail to sort of comply with your SLA you've guaranteed to the business. Cool. And that kind of illustrates how the calls get routed in and out between the two cloud connector instances. Can we just hold it to the end, if that's okay? Thanks. So what you probably ask me is, well, how do I do this if I've got multiple data centers and I want to provide some site resiliency here? Well, what you can do is set up PSDN sites, where you could have, say, a Sydney and a Melbourne PSDN site, and then drop a cloud connector or two into each of those PSDN sites, which gives you both scalability and some disaster recovery capability. The thing with this is users have to be assigned to a specific PSDN site, so you can do an active-passive type setup with this or an active-active where you've got 50% of users sitting on each PSDN site, so it gives you some load balancing there. Maximum 200 sites per organisation, that's a pretty epic number, so I think it's unlikely people are going to kind of hit that. But the important thing to hear note is there's no auto DR between these sites. It is a manual process, and I'll tell you more about that in the next slide. So because we don't have that automatic capability, what you'll actually need to do as a first step in a disaster recovery scenario is move PSDN connectivity to the DR site. So this really only works if you've got SIP trunks that have resiliency across them. Some carriers call them enterprise SIP trunks, some call them super trunks, and it's basically the ability where I've got a trunk coming into two sites, and it's going to go 50-50 of calls on each, and then if one site fails, the carrier is smart enough to go, okay, I've got a SIP response to say that one's down, so I'm going to send the rest of all my calls through to the remaining site. That's what you need to provide a DR capability with Cloud Connector. So once you've got PSDN connectivity in the DR site, what you'll do is reassign your users to that DR site using the set-cs user PSDN settings command. So it talks about the Cloud Connector component. Then it's important to understand how the PSDN gateways connect into Cloud Connector, because it's no use having two Cloud Connectors and then one PSDN gateway, because if the gateway fails, then you're dead in the water completely. So you need at least two PSDN gateways, ideally, so that you can still have some round-robin capability there and some resiliency. And what the gateways will do is they'll chosen a round-robin order, which you can set when you configure a Cloud Connector, whether it's going to put them all through one and go active-passive, or put them all through both in an even fashion. So from a port perspective for Cloud Connector, the internal firewall ports and the external firewall ports actually look like pretty similar to the on-prem edge and mediation components that you may be used to, where on the internal firewall port side, we need to provide access to the mediation component from the PSDN gateway we deploy and also our internal clients. And then on the external side, it's about providing connectivity from the internet to that edge component, so users can connect in and connect from the edge to Office 365 as well. So there's that dual approach that you can take there, again, depending on how you want to route your traffic via Office 365 or not. Think about also the DNS resolution for Cloud Connector, about whether you want to allow your edge server to connect to an external DNS server and then have DNS records for mediation and storage services in a local host file. Or if you want to point edge to a DNS server installed on an internal DC and then configure forwarders for DNS to resolve external resources, because that edge needs to be able to know where Office 365 is, so it does have so it does need some external DNS resolution capability. All right, so now I'm going to jump into a bit of a demo of the management reporting and call quality dashboard to give you a feel of what's available there for you to support and run Skype for Business Online. Okay, so I'm doing my Jeff Jansen. Here's one I prepared earlier. So what I've got is my Office 365 admin center here, where you can see all my Skype for Business activity that's been running in a live production environment of all of our modality usage. So I can see the last 30 days of all the activity of peer-to-peer sessions here. I can go down and see last activity of people and their conferences that they've had here. And this is showing me modalities like IM and meetings and things, but if I then want to see what the PSTN usage details look like, I can click into PSTN usage details in the Skype for Business Admin Center, and I can see all the calls that were made in and out from users that are homed in Cloud PBX. So I can see here that I've got some UK numbers that were called, I've got some Australian numbers here, some US numbers as well. And I can see PSTN out, PSTN forwarded, PSTN in, the start time, end time, duration. Then I can also load tariffs up into this and actually show how much these calls have cost these people. So it gives you an ability to then do a cross-charge back to a business unit. And then in terms of managing Skype for Business, I can go into my dashboard here and I can see all my Skype for Business online users, which are enabled for dial-in conferencing, which users have been synced and homed online. And if I click on the voice tab here, I can go and see who my voice users are and the numbers assigned to them. So this is me here with my Sydney O2 number. But you can see we've got UK, US people based here as well. Some are homed online in Office 365 and others are achieving their connectivity from on-prem as well. So when you compare this to how you might be managing your PABX today, it's way simpler because it's all sitting there right in the portal. You can obviously manage all this from remote PowerShell as well, as you come to expect from Office 365 services. I can then also go in and have a look at the phone numbers that I've got available to me if I wanted to spin up some new ones. No one coming up, all good. If I go into call routing, I can actually see the auto attendant and call queue previews that I talked about before. So I can see the auto attendant preview we've got here, which is a UK number to basically answer and then route through to the person that was dialed. And I can create a call queue here as well if I wanted to have like a hunt group functionality. And what I'd do with this is I can, where PSTN calling is available, I can port a phone number into Office 365, use an existing phone number for my on-prem PSTN connectivity, or create a new service number from Office 365 and assign it to a call queue. And then when it comes to managing call quality, Microsoft have a Skype call quality dashboard where I can go in and have a look at the overall call quality on a trend on a daily basis and see the percentage of poor calls that were made during the day. So I can see that I had 424 good calls on the 9th, but 6 were classified as poor. So then I can drill into these further and actually see what the overall call quality was like for that day and try and find out the cause for that problem. If you'd like to know more about the management and reporting capabilities in Skype for Business Online, Anton Krantz, the product manager from Redmond, is doing a session on Thursday afternoon. It'll dive deeper into the investments Microsoft are making into this capability. Cool. All right, so we'll jump back to the slides. So in terms of management of CCE, it's intended as an extension of the service, not as hybrid or on-prem. So don't think of it as another Hyper-V server and 4 VMs I've got to manage. Because CCE will actually auto-update itself, both the operating system and the cloud connector components, based on a schedule that you set in Office 365. And then Office 365 will actively monitor 3 services to check for auto-recovery, where it'll try to auto-recover the services. If it can't do that, it'll actually automatically restart the VMs and Cloud Connector as well. So it's kind of intended as a no-touch automated management experience. Okay, so in terms of roadmap of what's coming in Cloud PBX, What's available now is everything on the left-hand side there. And you can see the user coverage at Microsoft are kind of working towards here, where information workers are taken care of today, but then branch offices are going to be what's accommodated as a sort of H1 of this calendar year scenario. And then by second half of this year, Cloud PBX will be able to satisfy the needs of entire organisations. So I talked through the auto attendant call queues coming in first half of this year, but then there'll also be simple phone authentication, so you'll be able to sign in with an extension and PIN. Custom dial plans that I mentioned as well, extension dialing, expansion of PSTN calling to other geos as well. And then as we look at the second half of 2017, we'll start to see even more features light up, like analog support via partner ATAs, so you can connect your fax machines and alarm systems and FPOS machines and things to Cloud PBX as well and fully get rid of legacy components. And things like call parking as well. So you'll see more and more of those features that were on-prem light up in Cloud PBX. Okay, so my final thoughts on this is I've given you a really kind of well-rounded overview of the technical requirements and sort of plans to get this happening in your organisation, but I want you to kind of be inspired by this photo and reproduce this in your own organisations. So I've got there's a bit of a Twitter thing going on in the Skype for Business community of who can share the most photos of big old like piles of old desk phones. So I want you to go back to your companies and to your organisations and think, I want to put a lot of those in the skip and I want to deploy Cloud PBX because it's time to innovate, it's time to get more agile, it's time to get out of the 1970s. So with that, I'll open up the floor to some questions. Cool. First one down here. So the question is SBA functionality provided in Cloud PBX? Answer is no. Cool. Question down here?
So how quickly does it chew up the bandwidth when it goes to the cloud?
Bandwidth requirements, yeah. So that's a bit of a how long is a piece of string kind of question. And it depends on usage and personas and things. But to put it in perspective, a typical audio stream one way will use about 90 kilobits. And so that's kind of a good building block to then work out how much bandwidth you need. Cool. And just as you're asking questions, come up afterwards and I'll give you a Plantronics headset as well. Yep.
Is there any compelling reason to use Skype for Business over any third party telephony replacement tool like 8x8 or anything really cloud-based like that?
Good question. Yeah. So for those who couldn't hear, the question is there a compelling reason to use Cloud PBX as opposed to another UCaaS-type hosted PBX solution? And my view on that is it's consolidating your entire communication experience on Office, where people are used to using Skype at home, they use Outlook and OneNote and everything for every other productivity tool they use. So compared to something like one of those other UCaaS solutions, I've got to go out to another UI to make a call or to schedule a meeting or something, whereas when I'm sitting in Outlook for 8 hours a day, I can quickly escalate up to a voice call or an online meeting on the fly, and I don't have to break out of that experience. Cool. Question over here? Yep. So the question I get asked the most by everybody all the time is, when will PSTN calling be available in Australia? I don't have anything to share on that, unfortunately. Question down front?
Yeah, is there any support for call recording and archiving calls?
So,
further integration into litigation hold and e-discovery type purposes?
Sure, yeah. So the question is there call recording, compliance, functionality, litigation hold, e-discovery in Cloud PBX? All of your conversation history is stored in Exchange, so there is there's traces of the metadata there and the call detail records that you can leverage. But in terms of actually recording and capturing the audio, the APIs to allow those partner solutions to integrate with Cloud PBX will become available at some point. We'll be able to integrate those. There are some ways of doing that today with client-based solutions that sit on the desktop where you can trigger recording of calls that way, which from a regulatory perspective doesn't meet those needs, but if there's people that just need to record calls, you could achieve it in that way as well. Cool. All right, well, loads of questions. So up the back, gentleman at the front with a grey polo.
Sorry, what are the options for mobility if you have on-prem
Cool. So the question is, how can I achieve a level of survivability for a branch or if I've got on-prem PSTN connectivity? The way we've achieved this for our deployment so far is you can leverage functionality in the voice gateways to actually cache mobile numbers of users from Active Directory. And then if they detect that Office 365 is down, they'll actually reroute back out to the PSTN to user's mobile number. So it's not kind of full branch survivability, but at least that call still gets picked up for that user. Cool. Okay, so we are out of time. If you do have any questions, feel free to come up afterwards. I'll also be in the speaker lounge afterwards. I'd be more than happy to take your questions.